It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Superflex Rookie Draft. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia, and with me today, Mr. Big Pod Energy, Andrew Erickson, the King of Bros, D-Bro Derek Brown, and from CBS Fantasy, the one, the only Heath Cummings, somehow took a few days off and then decided the next best thing after that is to spend some time with us. I don't know what he was thinking, but we're just grateful to have him here. And today, we're going to be doing our Dynasty Rookie Mock Draft for Superflex. Three glorious rounds we're going to take you through, and we're going to tell you the picks, why we have certain guys ranked above others, what the future might hold, and hopefully everyone's having a nice May the 4th. So happy May the 4th to all of you who celebrate. Heath Cummings, what's it like to have 2 days off? That's my first question to you.
Terrible, really. Like it's nice when it's happening, but you know it. Like you take time off, and then you come back, and you are immediately punished for having a goal to take time off, and you just have to work even harder for the next 3 or 4 days. So it was nice during the time, and now it's awful.
Yes, and by punish, he means having to spend, you know, 45 minutes to an hour with us, and that is obviously the case here. Derek Brown, I know you are a big Star Wars guy. If you could, I'm sure you would take your beer to make them into those little buns that Princess Leia has on either side. In fact, I'd love to see you do that one day on the podcast. That'd be nice.
It already happened, this one. I tried.
You have any Star Wars plans today? I mean, are you actually going to sit down and watch one of the movies or anything like that? Or you're just rocking the t-shirt today?
Well, when the kids get home today, we'll probably kick on one of the movies or two of them. It's usually how we go with this. And obviously, I got the Star Wars t-shirt on. So it's all Star Wars things. I got up this morning and I was like, parsing through movie clips so I could sit here and post them. I was like, this is one of the best days of the year. Like, you got to celebrate it.
And Andrew Erickson is celebrating it by writing an article for fantasy team names revolving around Star Wars for Fantasy Pros, so that you know Andrew is completely tapped out. Like, he needs a day off or two. What was the best one of all the ones that you've received so far as possible team names regarding the Star Wars universe?
The Pierre is strong in this one. I thought it was a pretty clever one. In a galaxy, Jamar away. And then I think the softball one was Jahan Solo. I mean, that one just super nice. Easy to do. The rookie receiver from Penn State in Washington. I mean, he's the one he's captaining the Le'Veon Falcon. So we're all good go.
There you go. So we're going to have fun with this Wookiee draft. Oh, goodness. I'll be here all week. And before we do...
Was that a Star Wars reference or was that a shot at me again?
Take your pick. Before we do, the Fantasy Bros Dynasty Football Podcast will actually, I believe, have Derek Brown on this week.
doing another one of these drafts. So if you want to get Pat Fitzmaurice, Scott Bogman, and more Derek Brown, and I know you do, make sure you subscribe to our Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast, wherever you get your pods. They are just rocking and rolling over there. The guys are doing a tremendous job picking up that show, and I can't tell you, I am so just enthralled by it. I listen to it every week. I think the guys are doing a great job. I think you should too. It's got great insight on all these players and this analysis too. And even if you're not a big Dynasty player, I encourage you to listen to it because I think it's going to be very helpful trying to understand these rookies and the rookie class in redraft, because we've all seen some of these rookies come in and make immediate impacts in redraft leagues as well. And while you're at it, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. You can watch all 11 hours of our draft coverage. If you missed any of it, or watch it back because it was so good the first time. We've got all the podcasts on there. We've got all the short form videos, the long form videos, anything you could possibly imagine. We've got it over on our YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe. It'll just be months now away, not even, till we start kicking off our draft coverage here at Fantasy Pros. It's going to be fantastic. So we want you to be a part of that. We're going to have our Fantasy Football Fest coming up this summer. That's going to be super fun with amazing guests. And you can only be a part of that when you subscribe to the YouTube channel. So click that little bell for notifications when you do. And check us out over there with all the great content. So today, once again, Superflex is the format. We're going to go through 12 deep here. Since Heath is our guest and he is the freshest among us, we gave him the 1-1 pick so he could start us off with the first pick in the rookie draft. Heath Cummings, the floor is yours.
I almost feel like you should give this pick to the guy who hasn't had some time off for a while, because it's I got to type in Breece Hall and then I don't have to worry about anything for a couple of picks. But yeah.
Well, I wanted to ease you back slowly into work. That's what I was trying to do.
Absolutely. It was no work at all making that pick. Mm-hmm. I am extremely excited. What I wrote over the weekend was I legitimately think there's a chance a month into the season, Breece Hall is the dynasty RB2 behind only Jonathan Taylor. I think he has that type of upside. We'll have to see in year one how much he shares with Michael Carter. It's going to be a split. Everybody splits to some degree. I just don't think there's really any comparison in talent here. And I can't imagine why the Jets would have made this move when they already had Carter on the roster if they didn't agree. So I expect a pretty strong favoring of Breece Hall. I think he's every bit as good in the passing game, and I expect him to just be absolutely dominant.
All right. So Breece Hall, the 1-1 from the Jets. Now we go to the second pick in the first round, and Derek Brown is on the clock.
I'm going to go with the top guy on my board. It's Drake London, wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons. I'm going to walk into early opportunity, and I don't care what anybody's thoughts are on Marcus Mariota. You're going to pencil Drake London in to possibly like 120-plus targets in year one. Yeah, sign me up for that, because I think he has alpha upside.
I have one question. Even if I don't like Marcus Mariota, what if I really hate the offensive line too? And I remember watching last year where Matt Ryan, a pretty darn good quarterback in the league for a very long time, was on his back. I mean, it's one thing to have a lot of targets potentially, but are you concerned at all about the combination of a bad offensive line and a bad quarterback and a transition to a rookie looming as well for Drake London early in his career?
Well, the current quarterback and the backup quarterback both share an attribute that Matt Ryan does not and never has, and that's the ability to be mobile. So they have that ability to be mobile in the pocket as well as get on the run. I think Arthur Smith, considering last year, all he had after Ridley was out was Russell Gage and then Kyle Pitts. I think that they're going to basically design a bunch of plays for Drake London as far as screens, easy completions for Mariota, and just try to get the ball in these guys' hands and let them work.
All right, let's go to the third pick. Andrew Erickson, you are on the clock for the 103.
Shocker. Shocker here, people. Shocker. Jameson Williams for me at the 103. Detroit Lions wide receiver. I mean, look, we're playing a dynasty here, so I don't really care that he's going to miss games in the beginning of the season. I mean, it seems like the NFL would have taken him as the number one receiver if he wasn't hurt, and we see this all the time. Rookies start out the season slow, most notably Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson over the last 2 years, and it didn't matter. They came in immediately. They went on the field and immediately produced once the coaches realized that they should probably put them on the field and not be worried about dumb things. So Jameson Williams, yeah, he's my guy here at 103.
All right, Heath, you had some time here. You got to put that Breece Hall pick in and then just sit back from the podium. Now we're going to put you to work at the 104. Who is the fourth guy off the board for us today in the draft?
Yeah, I think there's a pretty big drop after the number two running back in this class in Kenneth Walker. So I'm going to go with Walker at number four. I would expect he's going to displace the other options in the backfield relatively soon. We haven't seen a lot of committee stuff from this offense in the past. Maybe he'll be in that 15 touch range as a rookie, but I think he has top 12 dynasty upside relatively early in his career. I'll take him at 104.
All right, Kenneth Walker from Seattle, 104. That puts Derek Brown up for the 105 pick. Which way are you going, D-Bro?
I think there's a few different options here, regardless of how you feel about this wide receiver class. I'm going to take Garrett Wilson, wide receiver for the Jets. I love the fit. It's where I kept mocking him religiously walking up to the NFL draft. Get him in space on short area crossers and just let the man work. I think he's got yak ability for days, and there's concerns about Zach Wilson and what he can support and what can happen there. But, you know, I'm willing to bet on the talent for Garrett Wilson.
All right, next up with the 106. Andrew Erickson, you're on the clock.
Going with Treylon Burks, wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans, the fill-in for and the replacement for A.J. Brown. Now, it remains to be seen what we'll see from Burks in terms of, you know, is he able to win on the outside? He played a lot in the slot at the college level. But, I mean, the latest reports are they're going to force feed him the ball, which, I mean, they probably should because they don't really have a lot of talent at the receiver position outside of Robert Woods, who's coming off a torn ACL injury. They just have a bunch of other slot receivers on their team. So they don't really have a choice but to feature Burks, and he's going to see a lot of opportunity and, you know, his skill set, yards after the catch machine. So he should have the opportunity to produce in year one, and that is valuable from a dynasty perspective.
All right, next up is Heath again. Heath Cummings is up with the 107 pick. Heath, which way are you going?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be the Chris Olave guy, I guess, because I've got him fifth, and I see a lot of places where he's falling even further than this. So I like the landing spot in New Orleans with Jameis for now and maybe with somebody else in the future. I think being opposite Michael Thomas will be a good thing for him early in his career, but I absolutely believe he has the ability to be a true number one wide receiver in offense as well. And I don't know that we should view Michael Thomas as any sure thing after the way the last two seasons have gone. There's a possibility that Olave is just the number one there this year.
That was my question actually for you, Heath. If Michael Thomas, let's say physically isn't able to go or something else holds him back, or last minute they're, you know, all the sides fall apart again and they decide he wants out again anyway, or any sort of volatility happens, what happens to Chris Olave? I know then all of a sudden, theoretically, he gets a bigger target share, but is that a good thing for him in this particular offense and the style of wide receiver he is? Or is he somebody that benefits a great deal from having a true alpha on the other side, like a Michael Thomas or a bigger time guy, especially early in his career?
I think early in his career, it might benefit him more. Like if you're talking about what he's going to do in redraft, and certainly what he's going to do on a per target or per route run or per reception basis, I think he'll probably be more efficient with Thomas there. But I also think there'd be a benefit to him being the number one wide receiver to Jameis Winston, who doesn't really care if you're covered or not. He's going to throw it to you. I don't really believe they'll be as run heavy as they were last year, because I'm just not sure their defense is as good as it was. So, yeah, I think it would be slightly worse for him in terms of efficiency this year, but maybe better long term.
All right. Next up, Derek Brown with the 108.
This is a decision point. There's two guys here that I love immensely, and I'm going to lean into my rankings, going to go with the top guy that I have left. I'm going to go with Christian Watson. The target share upside is huge here. Aaron Rodgers, we know what he can do. And Watson, a lot of people discuss him as being raw and all these different types of things. We know the athletic measurables are there for Watson as a guy that also last year, if you look at all the wide receivers in college, FBS, FCS, and lump them all together, he led the nation in yards per route run. So I'll take the upside on the target share potential and his upside with his talent.
Does the drop rate concern you at all?
I mean, look, we've talked about drops religiously in fantasy. Do we really care? No. I mean, I don't really care.
Well, do we care when it's Aaron Rodgers, who tends to lose confidence in a wide receiver quickly sometimes, especially younger guys?
I mean, he kept throwing the ball to Marquez Valdes-Scantling, although he had, like, you know, frying pan hands.
That's a good point. I want to have the conversation. I think it's important to at least identify that. Next up, Andrew Erickson with the 109. Andrew, who are you taking?
I refuse to do what my Patriots did and not take Sky Moore. So I'm taking Sky Moore here at the 109.
Must feel good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like retribution, right? It's vindicating to know that I'm going against my team, but I believe that this is the smart pick here. So Sky Moore, 109 from the Kansas City Chiefs. I know that the rhetoric has been, oh, no, like, where is he going to play? He's going to play outside. He's going to play in the slot. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to let Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes like figure that out. It's like, I know that Sky Moore can ball. That's what I know. So I think they're going to put him in a position, even in the video clips that have come out, you know, Andy Reid is literally telling him, we're going to put you in a position to succeed. Like, that's all I need to hear. It's like, they know what they're doing. I believe in their coaching staff and I believe in Sky Moore. So 109, I think, is screaming value.
I had a conversation last night with the Football Diehard Boys, with Bob and Mike, about Sky Moore. And we were talking, and I said, look, you know, Patrick Mahomes can make him so relevant so quickly, potentially. Is there a world where we come out of here in the, you know, year one of this rookie class and Sky Moore is the most productive? Is that possible because of the quarterback he's playing with and because there's an opportunity, a path for him to be that guy?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it's not like we haven't seen receivers go in round two that are the best receivers in their class. Like, that happens all the time. So I think that Moore, he probably fell because he went to a small school. Like, that's the red flag. It's like, oh, well, he just went to a small school. Like, how is he going to do when they up the level? But the fact that he was an early declare from a small school, I think, shows a lot that the NFL already loved him. And we've seen him produce with other NFL receivers in his offense, Dwayne Eskridge before. So look, I mean, you got Juju there. You got some other, like, I just don't think that there's a lot of competition that that's really going to be forced. When I think that from a yards after
you got MVS's frying pan hands,
MVS, there as well. I think that Sky Moore's the best pure yak receiver on that team. I mean, unless Juju can like turn back the clock and figure out why he's not as productive after the catch like he was when he first started. I mean, Sky Moore is the yak guy there. So I think that it's going to put him above those other two for me.
Well, and the other talents are all with lesser quarterbacks. That's my whole point, is looking in the early situation here. Sky Moore is in a great one. All right, Heath, you're in a great one here at 110. You got a lot of value here left on the board. So who is the next pick for you?
Yeah, I'm taking a lot of running backs in the first round. I don't know how I feel about that, but I'm going to go with James Cook. And I thought, like, we started to see last year from Josh Allen, I believe it was a career high 96 targets for the running backs. And we see that as quarterbacks get older, they learn to dump the ball off a little bit better. And that was with Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. James Cook, a much better pass catcher than either of them. We also would not be surprised if he slides into some of those Cole Beasley slot targets as well. They've already talked about wanting to use him that way. And I think he could probably take a few carries away from Singletary. So if you're going to have a running back in a part-time situation, as we've seen, you want to have the guy who's hogging the targets. Cook's going to do that in Buffalo.
Yeah, certainly Cook has a lot of upside here, no doubt about that, playing for the Buffalo Bills. Derek Brown, 111. Who is the selection?
I'm going to go with Jahan Dotson here, wide receiver for the Commanders. Do I love the landing spot? Not really, but there's some upside. I look at him and Chris Olave in a very similar light, in the sense that they could be the number one options in their passing attacks this year, maybe next year. Like, if anything happens to Terry McLaurin, there's nobody on that depth chart that I think is going to like push and command targets. I don't think Curtis Samuel, we might never see him healthy again. Logan Thomas, kind of same thing. Like with Jahan Dotson, and here's the other thing. If they don't re-sign and give a big contract to Terry McLaurin and he's out of town after this year, you're staring at a wide receiver that could be the number one option in this passing attack, and he's going to really enjoy it. As bad as Carson Wentz is, he's going to really enjoy getting catching passes from him, because Sean Clifford at Penn State was even worse.
It's true. So begrudgingly, at 111, Jahan Dotson, the selection for Derek Brown. That puts you up next for the 12th pick to close out round one. Andrew Erickson, who's the last guy?
112 for me. I'm going to go with Kenny Pickett, starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, because he's a starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't think it's going to be Trubisky. I really don't. So it's the value here. It's a two, it's super flex. And Kenny Pickett, I would not touch with a 10-foot pole in a one quarterback dynasty league. I don't care. I'm not touching him. But in a two quarterback league where just being on the field, being available, that is valuable in a two quarterback format. And the fact that he's the only quarterback in this class that may ever see the starting lineup, I think that he can't fall out of the first round, in my opinion.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Air Medcare Network. Now, we've talked about Air Medcare Network before. In a medical emergency, AMCN can get you to a hospital fast. And since there are no out-of-pocket expenses for anyone in your household when flown by an AMCN provider, your finances are protected too. AMCN is a brilliant play, and here's your next call. Complete your coverage by adding Fly You Home to your membership. Here's how Fly You Home works. Imagine you're hospitalized far away from home. Who wants to be in a strange place with strangers taking care of you? Nobody. With Fly You Home, you can make the call to be transported back to your local hospital, closer to your own doctor and family. Fly You Home takes care of absolutely everything from hospital A to hospital B. No bills, no paperwork. It's a smart way to reduce stress and put control back to you in your care, in your hands. Here's how you do it. You go over for Fantasy Pros listeners, sign up for Fly You Home today and receive up to a $100 e-gift card. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/pros and use the offer code PROS, AMCN, and Fly You Home. It's a lineup that can't be beat. And now, back to the action. All right, let's recap the first round for you, starting with the 1-1. Breece Hall, running back of the Jets. Then Drake London, the wide receiver of the Falcons, going next. Jameson Williams with the third pick over there. Andrew Erickson selected him from the Detroit Lions, wide receiver, with the fourth pick. Then Heath took Kenneth Walker from Seattle, running back. Then Garrett Wilson next with the fifth pick, wide receiver for the New York Jets. Now Treylon Burks, new wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans, goes with the sixth overall pick. The seventh overall pick, Chris Olave of the New Orleans Saints, wide receiver. Then Christian Watson at 108, wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. Sky Moore at 109, the new toy for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Then James Cook, the new running back for the Buffalo Bills at 110, followed by Jahan Dotson, wide receiver for the Washington Commanders. Pause for a second. I almost said the wrong team name, but I caught myself. See, I can be taught. And then closing us out, it is Superflex after all. Kenny Pickett with the 12th pick overall. Any surprise, guys, that Kenny Pickett lasted as long as he did? Or do you think right outside the top 10 is appropriate, Heath, of what the Kenny Pickett value is?
Yeah, I think like the idea that it's Superflex and he's probably going to get a chance to start, I wouldn't even be surprised if it's multiple seasons. That has a value in this format. That means he should be right at the end of round one, early in round two. I don't really want to do it, but it's the right place for him to go. You get past those first seven or eight picks, and if you don't have a second quarterback in a super flex league, he's pretty close to a sure thing, I think.
All right, let's move on to the second round. And Heath, again, since you're the guest, we're going to keep giving you that clean start to the round. We want you to start us off on the right foot. So who are you taking with the 201 pick?
Yeah, I'm going entirely with upside here with George Pickens. I have some questions about whether physically he's going to be able to handle NFL corners, and that might take a year or two before he can. But I do think that in terms of just raw potential and upside, he has the most upside in the Steelers receiving core. I expect him to beat out Chase Claypool relatively early. And if everything goes well, then he'd be a top 12 dynasty wide receiver.
Yeah, I love it. I love taking the upside there in the beginning of the second round with Pickens. I wholeheartedly agree. Derek Brown, you are up with the 202 pick in the second round.
I'm going to take an upside swing as well. We know he tested off the charts. He can stretch the field, at least at this juncture. I think there's still some meat on the bone as far as what he can add to his skill set. I'll take the upside swing on Alec Pierce, wide receiver for the Colts. For all the reasons I mentioned, and then he's walking into a situation in year one where who's commanding targets after Michael Pittman? I mean, really, it's going to be Alec Pierce. We can't trust Paris Campbell at this juncture of his career to stay on the field. So, I mean, I think that he's going to have healthy volume. And where you're selecting him at this point, I think that there's also equity that he can gain in dynasty circles in his rookie season.
All right. So the Colts' new wide receiver, Alec Pierce, goes second. Andrew Erickson, who goes third in the second round?
I'm going to go with Rashad White, running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, I was sweating when Rashad White finally got drafted. It's like, we need him to go in the third round. Like, we cannot fall to day three. And luckily, we got the draft capital for Rashad White because his profile was just excellent across the board in terms of his receiving production. If you look at running backs drafted on day two or earlier that have averaged at least 30 receiving yards per game in their final college season, Saquon Barkley, David Johnson, Joe Mixon, Antonio Gibson, Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, and Rashad White. So he has the skill set that you want from an offense that's led by Tom Brady. Now, obviously, Fournette is the starting running back there. But if Fournette has to miss time, like he has in the past, he plays running back. Running backs get hurt all the time. I wouldn't be surprised to see a guy who when I first watched Rashad White, he reminded me a lot of David Johnson. And then you have the Bruce Arians connection there in Tampa Bay. I just don't think they're enamored by Keyshawn Vaughn anymore. Just the fact they're always trying to replace him. So I think that ship has sailed. So I think Rashad White, he could have a couple big games this year if Fournette has to miss any time. And I think that he could be the guy for the future if Fournette, when they have to move on from Fournette. God, a lot of Fs, man.
Well, just don't drop the wrong one. Otherwise, he won't be on the show next week. All right, let's go next here with the fourth pick overall in the second round. That's back to you, Heath.
Yeah, and I did not get the day two draft capital, but I still think the Texans landing spot for Dameon Pierce is going to be good enough to ensure that he has some production as a rookie. I like the fact that he has the power to work in short yardage if they want to use in that role. He's also competent in the receiving game. His main competition for touches looks like it's going to be Rex Burkhead and Marlon Mack. I could absolutely see him being a flex this year as a rookie. And maybe it's more of like kind of a Michael Carter guy who fell to day three and then still was usable as a rookie. Now, Carter got replaced in the second year. Pierce will have that risk as well. But I do like the instant opportunity for production.
It's an interesting comp, too, putting Pierce and Michael Carter in similar situations to not great offenses necessarily, but also at least an opportunity to prove themselves. No doubt about that. All right, let's go to the fifth overall pick in the second round. Derek Brown, you're up.
Well, that last pick stung with Heath taking my dude, Dameon Pierce, but I love the pick. I'll go with another one of my guys.
You can't have all the Pierces. You already took Alex
Pierce. It's fair. I was trying to gobble him up. So I'll lean into another guy that I love, and the landing spot was good. Third round draft capital. Jalen Tolbert, wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. I know he came out of a small school. He was not an early declare, but he did exactly what you wanted to see out of small school wide receivers. He dominated his final two seasons at South Alabama, went to the Senior Bowl, put up more good tape. And like, I understand that CeeDee Lamb is there for the next 3 to 4 years, possibly, as well as Michael Gallup's got the contract now. But this is a good offense. You want to get pieces of good offenses. Erickson has been talking about this. Like, we need to gravitate to high scoring offenses. If Dallas is going to pass the ball more and you get early opportunity for Jalen Tolbert, because I'm not worried at all about James Washington, then yeah, I like Tolbert here.
Question for you. With the possibility of a beginning the season for Gallup on the PUP list, is there a world that we could walk into where maybe Tolbert really shows himself out and then perhaps at the end of the year he has comparable stats to Michael Gallup when all said and done, if not potentially better if he really hits the ground running in training camp?
Oh, Joey, you're speaking to my soul. That's exactly what the upside quotient that I want for him. I mean, there's a way where he could be the number two option in this passing attack, or at least fighting for that ability until Gallup is up to full speed with Dalton Schultz. It's in his range of outcomes.
Mm-hmm. And there's again, no guarantee. There's no setback or anything like that with Gallup, too. I think it's very presumptuous of us to all think, oh, yeah, Michael Gallup is going to step in on, you know, week two and all of a sudden everything's going to be fine. It's not always the case necessarily. All right, let's go to the next pick here. And that would be the sixth pick overall in the second round. And that would be Andrew Erickson.
Going with the 206 David Bell, wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns. Another player I was sweating their draft capital. David Bell got it, though. Got drafted in day two. And I think that's really big for him because the way he tested very poorly, you were concerned that NFL teams are just going to shy away from this guy and not necessarily look at his elite production profile, elite breakout age at Purdue. And the Browns were like, no, well, of course it's the Browns because they draft really young players and they follow an analytically driven approach to drafting their players. I think David Bell's just a really good fit in Cleveland. You have Amari Cooper, you know, as the alpha receiver, X receiver of that offense, and you have a bunch of field stretchers with Schwartz and Peoples-Jones. David Bell's not fast, but they don't need him to be their streaking receiver. Like, he can work underneath yards after the catch, and he eventually will have Deshaun Watson as his quarterback. And just following my mantra is just draft players on good teams, on good offenses, and David Bell fits that category. So I think that he's a strong guy that I'm going to try to target a lot in the second round of a lot of my rookie drafts.
All right, let's move on to the seventh pick. Heath, you're up.
If you would have told me 6 months ago that I was going to draft James Cook and Dameon Pierce before Isaiah Spiller, I would have either punched you in the face or called you a liar, maybe both. I loved this kid until seemingly everything went wrong in terms of testing and draft capital and everything else. And now he's in a situation where he's obviously going to be behind Austin Eckler, but on a great offense. And if something happens to Eckler, which it has before, and he's going to be a 27-year-old running back, and things often happen to those guys, there's a real opportunity. He's shown an ability to work well in the passing game. He looks good as a football player. He's just not very good at the other things. And I think there's a chance that he's one of these guys that plays better than he tests. And we're all going to look silly for letting him fall into the second round of rookie drafts at some point.
Heath, do you have any reservations because of how many swings and misses the Chargers have taken trying to find that other running back since Melvin Gordon left, where they had Eckler and then they had Gordon together. And then ever since it was just Eckler, they keep finding, whether it be Justin Jackson, whether it be Larry Roundtree. I mean, they've gone on with a bunch of different dudes. Are you concerned at all with the scouting process of the Chargers failing here?
I mean, I guess a little bit, but I think that's why he's there in the middle of the second round. And the fact that their scouting process has failed so often is the only reason they're drafting him. If they drafted a good running back in the last couple of years, they wouldn't need to. The fact that all those bad running backs are in the way, I think, is a little bit of a plus for Spiller, because I definitely think
he's, I guess my question is he the next bad running back in the long line of bad running backs?
I don't think so. Okay. Testing would say that he is. Watching him play football would say that he's not. So we'll find out which one. Like, it's always a constant battle between those things, and I don't think the difference is usually as stark as it is here, but we'll see which side wins out. I think it's in the middle of the second. I'm okay taking that risk.
All right, fair enough. See, I put you through a little test there. All right, let's go to the next pick here. Derek Brown, you're up at 208, and I think one of your favorite guys is about to come off the board.
Well, I'm going to buck the recency bias trend. I mean, everybody's scared of this backfield because, one, we saw this happen last year. Running back set taken in the third round, and it cratered. And everybody was burnt because of it. And yes, Elijah Mitchell is still there. But I'm going to take Tarion Davis-Price, running back for San Francisco 49ers. And he is going way later than this in most drafts. And this is not me trying to like make a statement pick, but this is about where I think he should go, in the middle to later part of the second round. He's a third round running back. If we didn't have the Trey Sermon debacle of last year, and yes, it's notable, but some of that's on Trey Sermon, and some of that's this team telling us that, okay, they still feel the need, even after what Elijah Mitchell did in his rookie season, this team still feels the need to go address the position. Now, we can not agree with the pick all we want and say, oh, wow, it was really high that he was selected. He's still a third round running back taken by a team that wants to run the ball. And he tested well for his size, and his 10-yard split is fantastic. So I'll take the shot here. And if he ends up beating out Elijah Mitchell in camp, a guy that was dinged up for most of last season, towards the end part of the season, he wasn't even practicing because he was dealing with injuries. So yeah, I'll take the upside swing on Tarion Davis-Price. At this point, if he does fail, it's kind of baked into his ADP right now.
All right. That's at 208. At 209, who are you taking a swing with, Erickson?
Actually, I just wanted to ask a question for Debro about Tarion Davis-Price. So, I mean, I didn't do a lot on him specifically as like a prospect coming out. Did you like him coming out? Or is it more like, obviously you talked about the landing spot with the 49ers, but I was just curious, like, was he someone that you were kind of like eyeing pre-draft? Like, I hope he gets a good landing spot. Or is it more, hey, you know, he went a third round, 49ers, et cetera.
I think I don't want to sound like I'm hedging here, but I think it's all these different things. I think it's the surprising draft capital. Now, his numbers on paper, he tested better than I thought he was going to test. And his yards after contact attempt, they weren't amazing, but they weren't terrible either. The one thing that I noticed, and I wish I could go back in time and say, like, you know what, this makes a lot of sense, is that when we were preparing for the NFL draft shows, is that you're going through all the top 30 visits and all the running back visits that certain teams have had. His name was littered through teams like Jacksonville, the Giants, all these running back hungry teams had visits with this guy. And at the time, like, we weren't projecting him to have higher draft capital. But now with, you know, the crystal ball and looking backwards, I'm like, he had a ton of visits. There was a lot of quiet buzz about this guy that maybe we just didn't connect the dots on.
I wish I could go back in time and make the picks for the Patriots on Thursday. All right, let's move on to the next one here. The 9th overall pick in the second round. Andrew Erickson, you're up on the plate.
All right, going with Malik Willis, quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, even though Ryan Tannehill refuses to help him whatsoever. Malik Willis can be like, hey,
I am not a mentor.
Where's the bathroom?
I am
Sorry, man.
A mentor.
You got to figure it out, man. Use your pants, man. Figure it out. So I just like... For me, it's the play on upside, and really it's a value play with Malik Willis because I don't think he's going to play this year. I really doubt it. The Titans are paying Ryan Tannehill like $35 million, and it would just be very bizarre for them to sit him and play a third round, you know, a guy that was drafted in the third round. That is a very raw prospect. But the fact that his contract is so bloated for the next 2 years, there's a chance that they can get out of his contract after this season, especially, you know, the sour taste that he left last year at the end of their playoff loss. The fact that their team's probably going to regress. They were the number one seed last year. I don't see anyone pounding their chest saying the Titans are a better team than they were last year. So if they take a step back, they miss the playoffs, you have this scenario where, okay, Malik Willis could step in and potentially be the quarterback for this team in 2023. And, oh, what do you know? You just got value. The guy never even went on the field. So for me, it's like getting him in the second round. I mean, Trey Lance has a mega value in Superflex leagues, and he barely did anything last year except flash occasionally when he got to opportunities. We all know Malik Willis is going to look great in the preseason. He's going to run over dudes. He's going to rush for 100 yards in games. And I think that he's just going to get value over the course of the year without even playing a game, just based on how mobile quarterbacks are perceived. Everybody loves them. So the fact that I can get a guy that I think is only going to accrue value I think his value is going to be stagnant. Like, I don't think it's going to get worse than it is right now. So it's a value play for me with Malik Willis getting him here in the at the 9 spot here in the second round.
He has a really good chance he's the starter next year, too. So yep. I don't know if it's a bad thing, certainly, that he waits for a year either. Let's move on to the next one here. I mean, look, we had to wait a year for Trey Lance. We're still waiting.
Exactly. As of the 4th, we still don't know. Like,
we're still waiting.
And he was still on the team.
Well, but here's the thing: he was selected way earlier,
right,
last year in the draft, and way earlier in rookie drafts.
Exactly.
And look at us; here we are, still waiting to find out. I think there's a very good chance we're going to get Malik Willis sooner than that. All right, let's go next here to the 10th spot in the second round. That's you, Heath. You're up on the clock.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the quarterback who knows, he might start before Trey Lance or Malik Willis, Desmond Ridder in Atlanta. even when Marcus Mariota was good, and I was a Mariota supporter back in the day, he had a really hard time staying healthy. I don't think this Falcons offensive line is going to make that easier. They can't hardly block anybody. And I just think, like, we're probably past the point to where I'm really excited to draft anyone, and we're late in the second round, which tells you a little bit about this draft class. But the idea that Ridder as a rookie quarterback could be throwing to Kyle Pitts and Drake London on a team that's absolutely awful and can't stop anybody. If he can be just passable as a quarterback, or maybe not, he might have some type of Blake Bortles value at some point in his career. And so in a super flex league, I'll hop onto that in this spot.
You said something very provocative there, Heath, where you were talking about, where you're talking about looking at the quarterback position in the essence of how that you really caught me off guard there with that. No one was ready for it. But that this is where the draft kind of stops for you. In your opinion, for those people who have upcoming drafts still ahead of them, you should be trying to package later picks, move up into the second round, correct? That would be your approach. Or maybe if you've got picks and the third and fourth round, maybe trading those off to people and maybe trying to get second round picks for next year, because as you're alluding to, it's not a very deep class. So if it's not a very deep class, you either move up or you move out. Is that a fair assumption?
That is exactly right. And I don't know whether it's easier with this pick, like if you can't use it to move up because your league mates might feel the same way. I don't know if it's easier to wait and see if there's somebody that somebody else wants when you're on the clock, and then maybe get that 2023 second. Cause I don't think you're going to have any luck before the draft trading the 10th pick in the second round for a 2023 second. Mm-hmm. Everyone pretty much agrees next year's class is better, and that 2023 second is probably going to be a higher pick than this one is. But you do have the possibility that somebody loves Malik Willis and he falls one spot further than he did in this draft. And so they're willing to pay that once you get there. So I think if you can move up before the draft, that's the right answer. If you can't, I'm probably holding on to it and hoping there's somebody left that somebody else wants.
Yeah, that's a good point there. All right, let's move on. I was that guy last night. I was getting messages from Justin Boone and Derek Brown at the exact same time. It was hilarious. Hey, what do you want for that 3-7 pick? Easy, gentlemen, easy. All right, let's go to the 11th to 12 and wrap up the second round here. Let's start with you, Derek Brown, for pick 111, and then go to Erickson for pick 211 and 212.
Well, we've got to the ooh part of the draft. I'm going to take a new pick for me. I'm just going to follow draft capital, even though I don't foresee a high ceiling with this player. I'll go John Mechie, wide receiver for the Houston Texans. Outside of Brandon Cooks, I mean, he's probably second in line for targets. So there's not a lot of great things I could say about Mechie. I mean, the profile speaks for itself. The breakout age is not great. He had every opportunity to be the guy possibly for Alabama this past season. But Jameson Williams says, "'Tis not meant to be for you, sir." And I think it's going to be basically the same kind of tell the tale for him in the NFL. He's probably going to be a solid number two or three wide receiver and really present a floor for you. But here's the thing. He went in the second round. If I'm wrong on all these points and he ends up being a better pro, this is a good value.
Having watched a ton of Alabama this year, when there was a 3rd and 6, Mechie was the guy they were looking for. Like, he was the guy that consistently just moved them forward. You're right. He's not the big play guy necessarily, but it's always hard with the Alabama guys because there's always so much talent ahead of them. It's hard to have a breakout when every year ahead of you is some superstar guy. Speaking of superstars, that's you, Andrew Erickson. You're up next here with the 12th pick. Closes out for the second round.
I'm going to take a certain
fifth round running back.
I fully believe that the Falcons would have taken in the fourth round if they had had a fourth round pick to use, but they didn't.
But they didn't.
So they had to wait to the fifth round. They got a great value. Shout out to the Falcons, who got an A in my draft grades. Good job, Atlanta. But yeah, I'm going to go with Tyler Allgeier from BYU, running back. Look, they just released Mike Davis. I think it's a good opportunity for touches in that backfield. And look, I like Allgeier before he went to the Falcons. Like, I liked him a lot. I liked his profile a lot. So the fact that he landed it like in a great spot in terms of an opportunity, I kind of got bothered by because I now he's going to be more expensive. But I mean, I can't deny the fact that there is a potential opportunity here. And if you look at, we talked about how bad the Falcons offensive line is. Okay, then you're gonna need someone that can make yards after contact. Number one in rushing yards after contact over the past two seasons, Tyler Allgeier. So the Falcons are bracing for it. They're like, we know we're not going to be a block. We got to get a guy that can get yards on his own, and that's Allgeier. So a guy who also showed that he could catch passes at the college level. Not all the rookie running backs in this class have done that. I'm going to go with him.
All right, let's recap the second round, starting at the top with a 201, George Pickens, then at 202, Alec Pierce. Rashad White goes third in the second round, followed by Damian Pierce. Jalen Tolbert, fifth. David Bell, sixth. Isaiah Spiller went in the seventh spot. Then eighth was Tyrion Davis Price. Malik Willis went ninth. Desmond Ridder went 10th. The 11th pick, John Mechie, and Tyler Allgeier at 12. All right, back to the third round of the Superflex rookie mock. And before we get into the third round, I also want to throw this out there. For those of you who are in dynasty leagues with IDP, this is even more fascinating draft because you don't have the big quarterback capital necessarily we're used to these last few years. And you have a really good defensive class with some guys who can make some tackles, guys who can get to the quarterback, lots of good guys on the defensive line too, which is always a tough thing to find in IDP. The makeup of those drafts are going to be fascinating. Perhaps Scott Bogman and I are going to have to get together and do one for you guys. But until that time, I just want to throw that out there. The metrics change so much in these drafts, depending on, as Derek and I were talking before the draft, is this a tight end premium league? Is all these different little wrinkles you put in there. But we're just doing the super flex today. We'll see what the rest of the week brings. Let's go with Heath for the 301. Heath, where are you starting us off on the third round?
I struggled with the guy I took and the guy who went right after the guy I took. But all the arguments that I made for Desmond Ridder, I think you could almost make for Matt Corral, except for the fact that he's not going to have Kyle Pitts and Drake London. He's going to have DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey. But I think he might actually currently be the best quarterback on the Panthers roster without needing an injury to get on the field. I don't have any reason to believe that Sam Darnold's better than he is. So if you can get a quarterback in round three in a super flex league that has a chance to play this year, I think you have to do it.
All right. So Matt Corral goes first. Second, Derek Brown, the third round, a 302. It's yours.
I'm going to stop the fall here and just go make a talent swing here. Trey McBride, tight end for the Arizona Cardinals. And the reason he's fallen this far outside of this not being tight end premium, but even in those type of formats, he's going to go later than he was because we got Zach Ertz there. But DeAndre Hopkins being out for six games and things of that nature, he is going to probably command targets, and that's really what he does. He is good in, as far as a run blocker. He's serviceable there, but his main bread and butter and how he's going to earn those paychecks is through the passing attack. So, well, you know, we're not heavy and loving of rookie tight ends. At this spot in the draft, it makes sense.
All right. So Trey McBride goes second. 303, Andrew Erickson, you're on the clock.
I took a running back that was drafted in the third round of the real NFL drafts, Brian Robinson from Alabama. I don't know how things are going to shake out in the Washington backfield. I don't know if Robinson's going to be, he could lead the team in carries, then move Gibson to receiver like we finally want. And it's not the way that we all foreseen it happening. So it's just really a play on, he's a big running back. He's guy they could see potentially using on early downs, you know, at the maximum potential. And if not, then, you know, he is a handcuff to Antonio Gibson. So I think that in the third round, taking a guy where you see a steep fall off with a lot of these running backs, especially the ones that go on day three from day two, I think it's a smart process play here with Robinson.
All right. So a couple of running backs go back to back here. We're going next to Heath going next here with the 304 pick.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Zamir White, another guy who probably is going to be a handcuff in his rookie year for Josh Jacobs, but they didn't pick up his fifth-year option. There's no telling if he's going to be on the team next year, and I think he could be an early downs back in this offense if they have somebody to really take care of all the passing downs. So, again, round three, I think he's probably more of a stash and maybe somebody I'd like a little bit more in leagues where I've got that practice squad where I don't have to hold on my active roster all year, but I don't hate it here in round three.
When you have the fifth year option not getting picked up for Jacobs, do you think White has more upside than maybe we realize this year?
I don't know if he does this year unless something happens to Jacobs. I kind of think that they just decided, you know, we're not going to pay a running back that much next year. And so you always wonder in those situations, that means Jacobs just gets all the work because they're not worried about what happens to him in the future? And can he hold up to that? Because he's had enough injuries of his own.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if you're going to burn him and churn him or if they're just going to start to churn him already. Robinson and White go back to back here, the running backs. And then let's go to the fifth pick in the third round. That puts Derek Brown back on the clock.
I'm going to stay. Okay. Now I'll give the spiel, but I'm stuck here in the second round taking these, don't really love it, wide receivers, but I'll make the swing on draft capital as well. As you have Wandell Robinson, wide receiver for the Giants. Like, if they do move on for Kadarius Toney, if Sterling Shepard is cut, what have you, there's a path, a really easy path for him, and he does check some boxes. Like, he's small, and he's probably only going to be a slot option guy, but he checks boxes from college target share, dominator, breakout age, and what have you, and he's fast. So at this point in the draft, I think all the yuck with the Giants is kind of baked into his ADP.
Andrew, did Obi Wandell Robinson make the list of names for the?
I don't think so, man. We got to add it. Need to adjust the article.
You're welcome. Adjust it right now. And I want all credit for that one. So, and if I don't see it by the end of business today, there shall be words in the Slack. I can tell you that much. So Wandell Robinson goes, come on. That was like shooting fish in a barrel. 305. Let's go to 306 now. Andrew Erickson, you're on the clock. Go adjust your article after the pick.
Yeah, I mean, I think I did something with Obi-Wan and Jacoby Myers, something like that along those lines.
No, Wandell Robinson, it's so much better. Come on.
At the 307, I'm going to go with Hassan Haskins, running back from Michigan with the Tennessee Titans. I just think that he's going to be the direct backup of Derrick Henry. And we saw last year Deontay Foreman be pretty good in that role when they kind of gave it to him. And Derrick Henry, look, I mean, the guy, they just load him up with touches no matter what, and he finally broke down last year. Now, will that happen? Could Haskins literally do nothing next year? Yeah. But, I mean, Derrick Henry showed that he was not invincible last year, and that could always happen again. McCaffrey got hurt back-to-back years. Henry could get hurt back-to-back years as well. So, I think Haskins, I mean, right now, I'm just, like, taking these shots on some of these running backs that will have handcuff value and that can accrue value over the span of the season.
Yeah, Haskins was in an offense of Michigan. They ran the ball a ton. So Hassan Haskins, now I'm doing it. Hassan Haskins with the sixth pick totally rubbed off on me in the third round. That goes back to Heath for the 307.
This may have been one of the least popular picks in the Dynasty community. You heard the collective groan as the summer of Albert O may have ended before it started. Greg Dulcich to the Denver Broncos. I was shocked that he went in the third round to Denver. And he will obviously have some competition for targets, but it's a competition. I don't think it's far-fetched to think that he could win in the very short term, near future. At the very least, he'll have high touchdown upside playing with Russell Wilson.
All right, so Greg Dulcich ruining all those early shares of Albert O. Derek Brown, you're up for the 308 pick.
I love the Haskins pick. I love the Dulcich picks. I'm going to go again. I'm still digging into the yuck second round wide receivers. Tyquan Thornton. We know he's fast. We don't know what the Patriots saw outside of that, but this is where we're at, people. We're in the middle later part of the third round and you've got to dive into the pool of yuck. So enjoy.
All right. That's some killer analysis there on Tyquan Thornton. I mean, look, they need speed. They got speed. The question is, how do you get him the football? And does he need to be a good route runner necessarily if he's just running flies and he's running past guys? Does it matter?
Well, they got like five or six receivers that can run out there, two tight ends, James White. My I mean, is he, what's his target share look like, guys? That's my problem with him too.
It's a DFS play is what it is. And maybe you get lucky if he has the big touchdown. That's what it is.
It's a best ball league play, Joe. I like him more in best ball.
All right. 309. Who's the best pick here? Andrew Erickson.
It's Khalil Shakir for the Buffalo Bills fifth round pick wide receiver. I don't know how he's, I don't know if he's going to get on the field in year one, maybe in a special teams role where they can kind of use his electric playmaking ability, but you know, he's going to be fighting for slot snaps with Isaiah McKenzie, with Jamison Crowder. And the Bills have shown us that they're more than willing to play dusty veterans as long as they can in front of talented younger wide receivers. So Shakir, it may take a little bit of time, but I think that every time we see him on the field, we're like, oh man, like we got to get this guy more ball. We got to get this guy more snaps. He's got to get more targets. And that in itself is going to get people attention. I mean, it takes one game. You know, Kadarius Toney, he had one good game last year and he had a ton of dynasty value because of it. So Shakir, you know, someone gets hurt for a week. And I think the fact that he actually can play, I think, inside and out, if any of these Bills receivers get hurt, he's the next man up and would benefit from obviously playing alongside Josh Allen.
Erickson, you just laid out the Gabriel Davis corollary. That's all I heard.
Yeah,
Davis has
which
value.
It's not wrong. Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah. Like that's the Gabriel Davis track from last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Shakir. Let's get to Heath with the 10th pick in the third round. Let's close things out strong here, gentlemen. Heath, you're up with the 10th pick.
Well, you guys talked me into this one. I don't even think he was the top player in my rankings, but I want him to be the top player in my rankings.
A lot of peer pressure around here, Heath.
You actually may make me change my rankings due to this draft pick, but I took Justin Ross. It was obviously disappointing to see that he did not get drafted, but if you're not going to get drafted, going and signing as an undrafted free agent with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, not a bad idea. Has huge red flags when it comes to the medicals and concern. That's why he didn't get drafted, but also has huge upside. 2018 national champion Clemson Tigers. Justin Ross played on a team with T. Higgins, Hunter Renfrow, Amari Rodgers, Travis Etienne. He led the team in receiving. I'm going to bet on that upside at this point in the draft.
All right. Betting on the upside of Justin Ross with the Chiefs at 10. Let's go to the 11th pick, Derek Brown. You're up for 311.
Well, from huge risk to just a huge human, I'm going to go with Jelani Woods, tight end that landed with the Colts. His athleticism gives him a massive upside. Moale Cox is older. I think the Colts can get out from under his contract next season. Kylan Granson has him step forward. The downside with Jelani Woods is that the Colts continue to just run this tight end committee that they've done for multiple seasons. That's baked into where you're drafting him. But the upside isn't fully baked in because we've seen the athleticism and what he can do. And I still believe like Jelani Woods is a guy that we still haven't seen the best out of his career, considering how he was used in college.
All right. So Jelani Woods goes 11 and now the 12th pick. The last one in the third round, Andrew Erickson, who's Mr. Irrelevant in this draft.
My Mr. Irrelevant is Green Bay Packers wide receiver Romeo Dubs, who they took in the fourth round of the NFL draft. And I'm just betting on a guy that's attached to Aaron Rodgers and the fact that he is a, you know, looking at his profile, broke out at age 19. He played in an offense that threw the ball so much. So he's used to playing in an offense that he's used to catching passes. And I think that Dubs, he wins down the field. And in a lot of my research, when I'm looking at receivers that go on day three that end up breaking out at the next level, it's your Gabriel Davises, it's your Darnell Mooney's. When you look at their profiles, they dominated production and they were used downfield. Like they were downfield weapons. And it's going back to the, if this guy's going to gain value, he needs to flash. How do you flash? Not catching dump off passes 5 yards down the field. You flash when you catch an 80-yard touchdown from Aaron Rodgers. So again, you don't necessarily need to love all these players here, but you just find paths where, okay, can this guy flash enough where then I can flip him? I can flip Dubs for a second round pick next year. Like, cause I love that next year's class. I think that's kind of the mindset I go into with a lot of these rookie picks later on is not even like, do I like this player? Do I not like this player? It's like, can this player gain value? And I think Dubs has a path for that to happen.
All right, let's recap the third round here, starting at 301, Matt Corral, then Trey McBride at 02, then Brian Robinson with the third pick. Zamir White went fourth in the third round. Then the fifth pick, Wandale Robinson, otherwise known as, Obi-Wan went there after Zamir White with the fourth pick. At the fifth pick, Wandale Robinson. Hassan Haskins at 306. At 307, Greg Dulcich, the tight end. Then Tyquan Thornton. Derek Brown was very happy to select him at 8. Followed by the ninth pick here, Khalil Shakir. Then at 10, Justin Ross. At 11, Jelani Woods. And finally at 12, Romeo Dubs, the wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. Gentlemen, this was incredibly fun. Of course, you can follow Heath Cummings over on the Twitter machine at Heath Cummings Senior. He is the senior guy there. Make no mistake about it. Heath, once again, thank you so much for joining us. We love all your work at CBS. Wish the guys the best for us. And hopefully you hit no traffic going into the office today.
Oh, I'm already dreading, but thank you guys for having me. This was the highlight of my day, maybe even the highlight of my week, even though I took 2 days off. I can't wait to do it again someday.
Thank you so much, Heath. Gentlemen, always a pleasure. And if you want more Dynasty content, make sure you're listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast with Scott Bogman and Pat Fitzmaurice. They'll be doing another one of these, so you'll see some different takes, some different reactions, some different players going in some different spots. It's good to get a cross-section and then go make your own decisions. And of course, don't forget, you can also just watch the podcast, not just listen to them, on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. Subscribe and click that little bell for the notifications. And of course, if you're watching already, like the video. It costs you nothing to do something nice. I'd like to thank the sponsor of today's show, and that is AirMedCare Network. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use that offer code fantasypros. No matter where you are in the game of life, an AirMedCare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Heath Cummings, Derek Brown, and Andrew Erickson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.